Turning again to the second chapter of the first letter of Corinthians, to some words which are famous in the ears of many believers over the years and have been a great comfort to them, here in verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It is written, "Eye have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Well, friends, you could say that verse 9 here, our text tonight, is about heaven. God has prepared heaven for those that love him. Well, now, that shows us right away that not everyone will go to heaven. Whatever we think about how someone enters into such a glorious place as heaven, you will have a very big argument with the Bible if your definition of the entrance into the eternal world of glory and happiness is for anyone other than those that have a true love for the God of the Bible. There is a belief amongst many, you will know, that all will go to heaven, that God is a God of love, that he couldn't possibly punish anyone in an eternal fashion. But clearly, we see from here that someone who loves God is the only way that someone will enter into that glorious place. It is absolutely true that not everyone loves God. It is absolutely obvious. And therefore, from the definition we have here in this verse 9 concerning those that would go to God's heaven, clearly only those that love the Lord. Well, of course, we think about that. Someone might say, but I don't believe that. I don't believe what it says there in that scripture. I believe, they might say, that if you are good, and if you're harmless, and if you're helpful to others, then you will get into heaven. But where do you get such an idea? Certainly not in the Bible. And if it's just a human idea, well, it's hard to be very sure about it, just like so many human ideas. How can you even be sure that there is a heaven? I believe you might say that really, if there is such a place, well, I'm not sure of it, but if there is such a place, then everyone will end up there. But where do you get such a thought? It's just your own opinion. It's just something that you hope might be the case. You haven't any evidence for it. God hasn't told you such a thing. We read here that God has prepared heaven for those that love him. And that is the qualification for entering into heaven, along with a few other things that we shall think about here this evening. Well, you might say it doesn't seem right. That is the case, that only those that love God will enter into heaven. But think about it, friends. Surely that does seem right. Think about it. What's the point of some people being in heaven when really you can see that that's the last place that they want to be? Well, can you imagine people that hate God, people that have no time for him, people that have never ever experienced worshipping God and loving him and devoting themselves to him? Can you imagine that they want to be eternally engaged in such spiritual occupations? Why, we can clearly see that if someone were to absolutely loathe something like football, or to be taken off to the football once or twice a week, well, they would hate it. It would be a wretched thing for them. For those that hate gardening, to be in some eternal garden, as it were, with wellies and dirt under your fingernails, well, that would be the last thing that someone would want. Of course, those that read books only if they absolutely have to, well, they would not be happy in any sort of eternal library. So even if we're just surmising or guessing or even gambling our lives on it, surely even common sense would tell us, at the very least, to go to heaven, to worship Almighty God for all eternity, you must at least have a love for him in some sense. Of course, that must be the case. Mind you, I wouldn't want to mislead you and say that the Bible says, as long as you have some notion of a feeling for God, or some sort of, at least a vague notion of indebtedness to God, then that will do the trick, that will take you into heaven. Oh, no, friends, This love of God that this text expresses is so much more than that. It's something heartfelt. It's something that comes only by a change of life, by Christian conversion. I hope what we say on a Sunday evening has convinced you that there's more to it than that, than just giving a nod to what Christians say concerning salvation. But still, we have this dividing line, and that is fairly clear, that more or less there are just two sorts of people in this world. People divide themselves into those two camps, those that love him, the God of the Bible, and those that will go to heaven, and those that do not, and those that will never enter into that glorious realm. Oh yes, this is about heaven. Look here again, verse 9. It is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's never entered our minds. Now, the thing is, this is not just about heaven. It is much about heaven, but that is not all. This is actually about a whole host of things connected with heaven. And that's what I want to try to show you here this evening. For instance, one of the things that has never entered our minds is what it would be like to be forgiven. It's never entered our minds. The unbeliever, what it would like to be forgiven for all our sin. Now, you may know that that is another qualification for entrance into God's heaven. We cannot go there unless our sin has been forgiven. The Bible repeats that message time and time again. It's why Christ died on the cross. He paid the price of sin. We've been singing about it. The penalty due because we have come and offended Almighty God, sinned against him, broken his holy law. And when someone sincerely asks God to forgive him, to forgive them, well, trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon his cross, then God will forgive them. And he will bring them. He will bring that person to heaven itself. And of course, if all that is so real, then that person will love God. They will love God. So you can see how it fits. Now, before I mention a few other things that might never have entered our minds, I need to show you something here in verse 10. You see there, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Here is a but. In other words, although verse 9 is true, it will never, in the normal course of events, enter our minds what God has done for those who love him, whether it be heaven itself or the forgiveness that is essential to go there. Yet there is actually a way in which it can happen. Left to ourselves, we will never know. We will never experience heaven. We will never know or experience forgiveness. But we read here, God has revealed these things by his Spirit, by his Holy Spirit. In other words, though there are so many things, spiritual things, that we would never know, that we could never ever find out for ourselves, yet sometimes God is pleased to show them, to reveal them to us. Always remember though, that unless God does that, we will never know about them for ourselves. Now there is a great big subject that connects both these verses. There is something to do with heaven and something to do with the forgiveness of sins. Something that has never dawned on us. Something that has not entered our minds and hearts. And something which we will only know if God reveals it to us. If God shows it to our hearts and minds. And that matter is what we call the gospel. The message of salvation. Gospel is that word that means good news. Or in the time of our Lord's birth, it was called glad tidings of great joy. The gospel is a glad message because when believed, it brings forgiveness and heaven. Now there is a sense in which heaven and the forgiveness needed to enter heaven has been revealed. It has been shown, and that by the Holy Spirit. And what do we mean by that? It is that it has been revealed in the Bible, in the scriptures that we have before us here this evening. The Holy Spirit is the writer of scripture. We know that it was physically written down by holy men of old, but they were directed in a wonderful way and superintended by the Holy Spirit to write down exactly what God wanted, so that it would be the truth and would be a test as to whether we would believe God and his word. That's what the Bible is. God revealing many things, showing many things in the Bible, which we call the book of Revelation, not just the last book of the Bible, but all of it. It is a revelation. It is a revelation, a showing, a revealing of who God is. And it is a revelation of what he is like, his character and his ways. And it is a revelation, a showing of what God has done. He has created all things. And also what he will do, for instance, at the end of this world and with us as we quit this world. It is a revelation also of what God wants, what he wants of us, his creatures, what is required of us. The Bible reveals to us all these things that we could never know for ourselves. And the Bible is a revelation of heaven and hell. Only God can tell us about such things. Heaven and hell can have no meaning to us except God show us, reveal it to us. And he has done that in the Bible. It's never entered our minds and hearts what God has prepared for those that love him, and incidentally, what he has prepared for those that do not love him. But God has been pleased to reveal these things by his Holy Spirit in the Bible. The only reason we know about God and his character and heaven and hell and forgiveness and what Christ was doing on the cross is because it's in the Bible. It's there that God has revealed these things. I do not know such things of myself. I find them in the scriptures. I hope you realise that anything I say is not my opinion. It's not my own philosophy of life, my own idea. No, I can only retell what I find here in the Bible. Now all this raises a question. If heaven and forgiveness has been revealed in the Bible, why does it say here that it has not entered our minds? That it's not entered our hearts? We might say, I know something about heaven. I know I need to be forgiven. How can it be true that it has not entered my mind and my heart, these things? Well, there is a tiny word here that helps us to grasp this. Do you see it there in verse 10? But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What does the Apostle Paul mean by us? Now, you have to understand here that Paul is writing to believers, Christian believers, Christian believers in the church at Corinth in ancient Greece. He wrote two letters to that church that are in our Bible. This is the first letter. It's very important to realise that he is writing to real Christians, real believers. He does say lots of helpful things to unbelievers, those that have not yet become Bible-believing Christians. That's why we're looking at this here tonight. But he writes to converted people. He writes to people who really did love God, to those whose lives were lived with an overriding principle that they only wanted to please the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him and serve him who had saved them from the wretched consequences of their sin, making the Lord Jesus Christ the most important one in their lives, proving that they loved God. And also we might note that in those days it was going to cost some of them their very lives, as the Roman Empire persecuted all those of the so-called religion. Oh, so it was written to believers. And Paul speaks to them and he says there in verse 10, well, he says, God hath revealed them unto us, unto us believers, us Christians, those that have been converted by God's wonderful grace and love. God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. The Bible believers in that church had a revelation to them, had revealed to them about heaven and about forgiveness. And it wasn't just that they'd read it in the Bible, it was that spiritually they had been shown it in their hearts and in their minds. You see, millions of people have read the Bible. Of course they have. Millions of people have read the Bible and about what God has said about heaven and earth and hell and forgiveness. And they've heard the gospel message many times. And you can do theology degrees at the universities, and you can read thousands of books concerning Christianity. Sometimes you even get a snippet over the TV and the radio. But what verses 9 and 10 are all about here, as Paul writes to believers, is that God must reveal these things to our very hearts. He must reveal them to our very minds in a spiritual way. When he talks here about ears and eyes, he's talking spiritually. It's got to come into the very fibre of our spirit and soul that we might believe these things and understand them absolutely in a spiritual sense. Friends, even our children in the Sunday school know about heaven, and they know about hell, and they know about forgiveness, and they know about the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ dying in the place of sinners, taking the penalty that we deserve. The children know of these things. But until it really dawns on our souls, unless it actually penetrates our spiritual being, we will never really know about these things. We will remain puzzled. Now, I think you can see from these verses we're considering tonight that there is one great matter that seems to solve all. You see, these things are revealed to those that love him, that love God. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. There's not some situation here where we've got to sort of work up some love for God and then all these things will be revealed to us. No. It's the other way round. These things are revealed to us, and they come and they dawn upon our souls at last. And because of these things, we seek God and his forgiveness and his salvation. And such salvation comes to us all by the grace of God, all undeserved. And because these things happen and our lives are changed, these things flood upon our soul as they're revealed to us. And then we love the Lord. We love him for all that he has done for our souls. That's the way to look at these things. Oh, that's what makes all the difference. Or the thing that makes all the difference to love God is to see it all, to understand it, to take it in. If we love the Lord, then that shows that God has revealed something to our very hearts. It means that God has shown us all we need to know for now about heaven and forgiveness and the gospel, the good news. I can tell you some of these things that God has prepared. But unless you love him, it will never really sink in. They will never really be believed by you who haven't had these things revealed to you by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you some of them. You can test yourself. You can ask yourself, do I really believe this? Do I really trust myself to these things? Do I love the Lord? Do I embrace these things with all my heart? One thing that God has prepared is salvation. He prepared it by the cross of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying in agony upon a cruel cross. The Bible shows that it was a penalty whereby God actually inflicted on his own Son the penalty we deserve for our sin. And that because the Lord Jesus Christ died in that way, we, if we sincerely seek God, we may be forgiven and saved and brought to heaven. Now all that's in the Bible. If I had time, I could show it all to you. It's what we do each week here on a Sunday evening. But has it entered into your heart? Can you see it? Do you grasp it with all your being? Do you really hear what I'm saying? Do you love this God that has prepared salvation for the likes of us? Has God's Holy Spirit revealed him to your very heart and soul? Something else God has prepared, and it is peace with God. This is taught all through the Bible. I could give you chapter and verse. By trusting in this Saviour and giving ourselves to him, we can have an end to all our guilt, an end to all our wretched failure in our lives, an end to all our fears concerning the next world. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by entrusting ourselves to him. It's all there in the Bible. But has it been revealed to our hearts? Do we know it and experience it? Deep down, have we seen it? Have we felt it? This peace? Have we truly heard this message of peace? Has it dawned on our souls that we can have this peace? Do we love God for it? And what about joy? Real, lasting happiness. So elusive, isn't it? Oh, to be truly happy. Happy so that nothing can really spoil it. Everlasting joy. Oh, does that sound unrealistic? Well, the Bible reveals all that as well, and how we might possess it, how we might become, it might become our prized possession. What joy Oh, what that joy is like, true happiness that rises above every trouble and grief and fear that this world might bring to us. God has prepared that for all those that will come to him and believe in him and seek his strength and power to live the Christian life that will truly please him. He has prepared such joy for those that love him. Do we know anything of this? Do we know what it is to experience such joy, such happiness? Have we seen? Have we really heard it? Has it sunk deep down into our hearts and our beings? Oh, friends, we need to experience these things for ourselves. And what of heaven itself? Oh, I know we cannot, by the nature of the thing, know fully about heaven yet. One eminent believer wrote, and we sung it at the beginning of our service tonight, "When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking all life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe." Oh, friends, the Bible says so much about heaven. So much we can glean from the scriptures about the place that God has prepared for those that love him. To what extent then, friends, have we seen with spiritual eyes what God has prepared? Have we really heard? Have we really taken it in, what God has done for those that love him? Has it really entered our hearts that if we love him, our transition to that eternal realm will be more amazing and spectacular than anything that we can imagine here? That if you love him, new sights and sounds and breathtaking scenes in that eternal world will enter your being and you will thrill in your soul. Oh, more than anything you've known here in this world, as a believer enters into that glory, if you love him, your mind will be filled with knowledge and understanding that will make all the wisdom of this world to look like darkness and ignorance. We will see what life is all about. If we love him, every pain and defect will disappear, never to return. If we love him, we will be filled with peace and happiness and security and satisfaction beyond our wildest dreams. If we love him, we will meet and live with all God's true people that have loved him all down the ages and enjoy their fellowship and friendship for all eternity, living in harmony and peace with them. Oh, friends, if we love him, all sin and weakness of character will all be gone. We will never see sin in others or ourselves ever again in that heavenly realm. Never again will our eyes behold anything wretched or vile or petty or of anger or of grief or strife. If we love him, we will see our God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved us and gave himself for us, the one that sought us here while we're here on earth by his Spirit and drew us to himself and made us his. Do we know anything of these things? Have we seen it? Have we heard it? Have we felt it? Has it really been shown to our souls? Do we love him? Oh, friends, can we not cry out to God in prayer? Oh, Lord, Lord, reveal these things to me. Show them to me. Oh, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, grant that my heart might see these things and hear them and truly understand them. Oh, Lord, that I might love thee, that I might see heaven and see forgiveness and see salvation and see a Saviour. Lord, I see thou hast prepared all these wonderful and eternal things. Grant that I might love thee and receive them all. We need to have a constant prayer day by day. Lord, show me these things as we come to church, as we get up into the morning. Lord, reveal these things to my heart and to my mind. May I know them for sure. Lord, open my spiritually blind eyes and stop my spiritually deaf ears. Lord, reveal these things to my heart, these things to do with forgiveness and heaven. Do you know that we've never heard of anyone who did not pray that sort of prayer sincerely, daily, for whom over a period of time, sometimes very short, God has done that? That as they have looked into the Bible, that as they have begun to see wonderful things, marvellous things, eternal things, things that have turned them to the Lord, and when they've been converted, they always say, I never realised what it would be like to be forgiven. It never entered my mind that God could do all this for me. I never had so much as a clue that such mighty and wonderful things could enter my life and change me so much. So many have said, oh, that I came sooner. Others have said, it's just a completely different life that God has given to me. Still others have said, if I'd known this years ago, what I know now, I would have dropped everything that I counted worthwhile. Oh no, to have the Lord, these things that he's given to me now. Why, it never entered my mind and my heart. The half was never been told. So much, such happiness. Oh, so much satisfaction. So much great feeling of being wanted and forgiven. So much expectation of going to be with the Lord when this life is over. So much meaning, so much purpose to life. Why didn't I see it before? But God has shown me that it's all true, that it's all real. Oh, friends, cry out to God to show these things to your heart, that you might know these things for yourself, and then that you might love God and have that qualification to enter into his glory. May the Lord bless us as we seek after him. Let's pray together. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, indeed we pray once again, reveal these things to our hearts, that we might see salvation, that we might see that we can be forgiven, that we might see how we might trust in the Saviour, and then seeing these things and trusting in thee, we might have revealed to us such glorious things that we never dreamed of. Come bless our hearts this night, we ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 819. There is an hour when I must part with all I hold most dear, 819.